every single thing that we do in our program matters. Every single day matters. Every single opponent matters. You know, we're just blessed that we get to play the defending national champions on the road. So it's, you know, it's an exciting time, and I think it's nice to have such a big game. From the outside world's perspective, as you're going through the off-season conditioning, as you're going through the off-season workouts, just to, you know, enhance the focus.
That is new Georgia Tech coach Jeff Collins talking yesterday at the ACC Media Days in Charlotte about the opener and about the challenge that he faces as a near 3-touchdown underdog in its opening game. And what a way for him to start. I mean, I can't imagine any other. There have been very few coaches who have ever taken over a program, and in your very first game, you have to play the defending national champions. That, you know, that doesn't happen very often.
That's a buzzsaw game. like, bring forth the sacrificial lamb. I mean, that's really.
Yeah, there's not much you can say.
No, listen, I was in the break. We were chopping up a little bit. And I was thinking, I'm like, as a coach, when you're asked that question, hey, you know, you got the defending champions, Clemson Tigers coming up. You got to get a chance to play them. You know, the way that they dismantled Alabama. Alabama's one of the, you know, the pedigree programs of college football. How do you feel about going into this match? Hey, man, you know what? Guys worked hard this offseason. They're up for the challenge. Much respect to Coach Sweeney and his crew. But, you know, we're excited about what we have here. That's really basically all you can say. I mean, really. I mean, and I think that on the flip side of that, Dabo has to do a great job. He's going to have to do a great job of making sure that his players do not overlook Georgia Tech. That's the biggest obstacle that you're going to have to try to, you know, overcome as a coach. Because, you know, the players are looking at that. They're looking at Georgia Tech historically has been a option team. They're smaller guys. Now you're trying to run an offense that nobody's really accustomed to. And, you know, they're going to be learning on the fly a lot. So you're going to have to guard against basically overlooking Georgia Tech. That's the biggest thing. You're just going to have to you're going to have to guard against really trying to overlook Georgia Tech and going out there and playing your best game.
And because the next game for Clemson will be their, what they say is the biggest game in their non-conference schedule when they host Texas A&M the following game. And so there'll be so much about, you know, they're remembering the close loss to Texas Tech, the close win, rather, against Texas Tech last year at Kyle Field. And so, yeah, you have to do that because everybody thinks that Clemson's going to go out there and win 54-7. And they may. By the way, that is a night game. It's a Thursday night game with Georgia Tech going into Clemson just about six weeks from yesterday for Georgia Tech. And whether or not you're able to see it in town or you have to go to a sports bar to see it is yet to be determined. For some of the fans, get this. Disney and ESPN have not secured agreements with the following companies, okay, for ACC Network. They have not. Now, John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, is saying we're very close, but they have not secured agreements with the following. If you have any of the following, you do not yet have the ACC Network. Comcast Xfinity, Charter Spectrum, Dish Network.
Wait a minute, you're saying if you do have those, you don't have it?
If you have those, you
don't have it. Well, I don't have it. ACC Network, don't have it.
Yeah, you have. If you have DirecTV, you have the ACC. They have a deal for the DirecTV.
Ooh, but I have Sling TV. It'll probably be on. Is it on Sling?
It doesn't say that. It just
well,
says,
Sling does a great job of having like.
What's
you know,
that? What's the sports one that's like the sports network? The app for sports network. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, what the heck is the name of that thing?
ESPN?
Like Fubo or something. You know, isn't it something along those lines that's all the sports channels and you can get them? Anyway, so if you have Comcast Xfinity, Charter Spectrum, or Dish Network, at the moment you don't have the ACC Network, and that Georgia Tech Clemson game is going to be on the ACC Network. It'll be the very first game of the ACC Network as it launches this fall. So we'll see what they're going to. Now, John Swofford, the commissioner, is saying, you know, we're close. We're going to get this deal done, blah, blah, blah. So I wouldn't be overly concerned if I'm a Charter Spectrum or a Dish Network or a Comcast Xfinity subscriber. I think they'll probably be able to get it worked out. But I say probably because I don't know. I mean, who knows? You know, so I just want to let you know. We'll certainly update you as we get close to the game. They do have a month and a half. More from Jeff Collins talking about changing. He was asked yesterday about, you know, you go from the triple option and the not triple option and the difficulties in that.
We're not a organization that's built on scheme. We're an organization that's built on players. So we inherited a roster, had 13 running backs on scholarship and zero tight ends. Well, those young men are in our organization, and they have hopes and they have dreams, and they want to play at a high level. So how can we put them in a position so they can have success individually, and then we can have success collectively as a team? Same thing on defense.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you know, trying to a bit of a square peg in a round hole when you come in.
I mean, and that has to be tough. Dude, you got 13 running backs on scholarship and no tight ends, and you want to run a pro-style offense. Good luck. I mean, you're going to have guys like this. This is listen, Georgia Tech fans, much love to you. And I know I talked to a lot of them. Me and Chuck went to the T-Day, GT-Day, and we talked to a lot of Georgia Tech fans. And the biggest question was, why don't we get love on the radio? We're going to try to do a better job of that, number one. But number two, this is going to be a tough year. So you have to look at this season with an open mind. You really, really do. And I'm pretty sure most of the players that played in the program at Georgia Tech, they understand that. But I'm just saying, as a fan, you're really going to have to look at this season and be really, really open-minded. There might be a bunch of games where these kids look like the Keystone Cops. Like, seriously. Like, it's going to be tough because you're asking a bunch of guys that are behind eight ball in two instances. They're probably going to be smaller in most of the matchups that they're going to be in, and they're going to be asked to do something that they weren't accustomed to doing before Coach Collins got here. So there's going to be a lot of times, even in the games, as many practices that they've been in, they're probably going to look lost because it's going to be a lot of moments in the games where – they're not going to be accustomed to being. And there's going to be a lot of battles that they're not going to be favored to win. And it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. But you just got to remember that what Coach Collins is trying to build, it's not going to be built overnight. Because like Chuck said, you don't have the guys on the team that looked the part getting off the bus just yet. You don't.
Well, Jeff Collins again, one more from the new head coach of Georgia Tech, talking about what he expects to see in his first year on the Plains.
Expectations are to get better every single day. Expectations are to build a culture that's built on effort, where we compete at every single thing that we do, learn our processes on how we become a great football program, and every single day we're in that battle and in that challenge.
He just told you basically what I just said. He just basically just broke it down for you right there. That's what it is. You're going to be in a situation where You're gonna try to build off of everything that you do every week and try to get better at small things every week. Because, again, you don't have the personnel here, not yet, that you're going to need to run the offense that you want to run. So you're going to have a lot of guys that are going to be out of position, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to be in situations where their instincts, like coach is going to be telling them to do one thing, but their instincts are going to tell them to do something totally different, and they're going to make mistakes. So you just have to be patient with this team. It's going to be rough, especially going into that buzzsaw in Clemson. That's going to be rough, and it's going to be rough probably for a few weeks until they learn the process and get comfortable in what they're trying to accomplish as far as the offense is concerned and defensively too. I think the defense will be in a position where, you know, they're going to you know, fly around. They're going to make some plays. But offensively, man, that's going to be a struggle for them.
Yeah, and they got a lot of tough ads. I mean, you know, what you do down in the flats to, you know, kind of hold your home position, that's one thing. A season that begins with Clemson on the road, ends with Georgia at home, and in between those ads, including a game against Collins' old team at Temple, which I think some Georgia Tech fans are going to look at Temple and go, oh, we got that. No, I wouldn't say that. You don't understand how good Temple is. At Miami, at Virginia, this is going to be a difficult schedule for Georgia Tech, no question, especially when you go on the road for games like that. The game at Temple will kind of give you an indication of what you might be able to see in the future with Georgia Tech, because this is what Jeff Collins built. Temple was a wasteland of college football for the most part, and Jeff Collins went in there and rebuilt that program based on defense, by the way, and rebuilt Temple and turned them into a winner. And so I think you're going to see the emphasis go to the defensive side of the football as the way to get Georgia Tech back into the mix in the ACC.
Yeah, I think the defense is going to be – they're going to be a group that's going to fly around. They're going to make some plays. I think that they have a prideful group. But it's going to be tough, man, because it's going to be tough to score. It's going to be tough to move the rock. Like when I think about it, like you're talking about offensive linemen people that are used to doing scheme blocking, you know, wrapping around, pulling, cutting, and all. Like, you're going to be asked to block one-on-one. You're going to be asked to sit there and stand in front of somebody weighing, what, 290-some pounds? And the defensive end or the D-tackle is going to be just as big, if not bigger than you. He's going to be trying to take your – well, he's going to take your lunch money. There's going to be a lot of lunch money taken out there on the field at Georgia Tech. It's going to be a lot of loose change out there on the field. It really is. So just be prepared for that and just try to find other things to look at. It's going to be rough. It's going to be a tough one.
We're talking about the end of ACC and SEC Media Days as we focus on the start of the season, which is 5 weeks from tomorrow. A reminder that College Football Game Time is going to be a special edition, 9 to noon tomorrow on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, and I are going to be in here 9 to noon talking about all the ACC, SEC, Big Ten Media Days, all of the storylines from the Media Days around the nation, Big 12 and whatnot, and getting you ready for the season. That's 9 to noon tomorrow on Sports Radio 92 on the game. All right, so a couple other things from the ACC. Manny Diaz is the head coach now at Miami. You might recall that he went to Temple, like we were just talking, to replace Jeff Collins, and he was like the Temple coach for like 2.5 minutes.
I'm saying, I got to go. I got a better deal. that was kind of cold, but you do what you got. You had to do what you got to do.
He was, the defensive coordinator under Mark Richt. He says, all right, fine, I'll go to Temple. And later, like that day or the next morning, is when Mark Richt said, you know what, I think I'm done. And Miami, you could get on the phone and said, Manny, have you signed yet? Because we, don't go anywhere. So Manny goes back to the U. And Manny said this yesterday. He says, they're talking about Miami of Florida. We have to go back to being a bunch of hardworking guys. That is how Miami won in the past. Our former players have told us that repeatedly. Okay, everybody's hardworking. I want to tell Manny, I don't know, Manny, maybe you missed it in the 80s. It wasn't so much hard work.
Yeah, talent.
It was swagger.
Yeah, they had talent, too.
Yeah, they had a lot of talent. I mean, of course, 2001.
You talking about them. Look at all the cast that was on that team. Was the U in the 80s? Look at all them cats that was on those squads.
Well, the 2001 Miami team, I think, might be the most talented college football team I've ever seen. I mean, that team was insane with talent. And you're right, Hugh, it is about talent. But Miami's also, I mean, they did the turnover chain thing, but they embraced, remember the whole Catholics versus convicts thing?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember watching that 30 for 30.
And so, I mean, they embraced that kind of edge. I mean, we're talking about edge. They embraced the fact that they were the bad boys of college football.
You know what's funny? Now that would be not so PC. I mean, but they embraced it back then. But yeah, that I remember that vividly. They need to do a better job of keeping some of those kids in state and going to the U. I remember like the guys that I played with that went to Miami. That was a badge of honor to go to the U. Like Edgen James and all those guys. Like to this day, you see them on the sideline. Ray Lewis, like to be from Miami and go to Miami University. That was the place to go. That was the school that you had to go to. They need to do a better job of that. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of good young football players in Miami. And they need to do a better job of keeping them in Miami.
Yeah, but wasn't that the attraction? Wasn't that the whole thing that they were the bad boys? They were the Oakland Raiders. They were the
Well, I think it was that. And a lot of guys still do it. But a lot of those kids were from the hood. They were from those same hoods. And a lot of the culture is different down there. I remember yesterday listening to Andy and Randy. Randy was talking about how he used to, hang out with Trick Daddy when he was down there. Like those stars and people like that, they were in the community, and they kind of steered those kids to go to schools like that. Like Luke was Luke was that dude down there, and he had football teams, and most of those kids, it was like what? Miami, maybe Florida State, but all of those kids stayed in the state of Florida. They need to get back to that. I know there's some guys doing. I know Edrin does some stuff down there with some youth football and things of that nature. They're trying to get back to that. Like a lot of those guys that went to the U, man. Like I see them, follow them on Instagram. They do. They're trying to bring that program back to what it used to be. I think they felt a little bit of that when Mark Richt was there, and now they're trying to bring some of that back. So they're back in that community real big.
Yeah, because the race for second place in the ACC is going to be very, very interesting. Will Miami bounce back under Manny Diaz? Will Willie Taggart have a better second season? What of Syracuse and Virginia? Pitt's the defending champion in one division. But again, the gulf, at least on paper, to start the season between Clemson and everybody else in the conference is just enormous. But then again, stranger things have happened. So we'll see if anybody can make any dent into the Clemson prowess in the ACC. That'll be the big focus starting the season. And, of course, first team that gets crack at it is Georgia Tech on August the 29th on a Thursday night in Death Valley. All right, we're just getting rolling here on a Friday, keeping our eyes on the British Open. Jordan Spieth won out of the lead of J.B. Holmes. Brooks Koepka lurking behind two strokes off the lead, and Tiger still kind of grinding out there. See if he can continue to make waves. The Falcons rookies are in, and the veterans set to report on Sunday, and camp starts Monday. Are you ready for some football? Falcons camp is around the corner as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 910 The Game at sportsradio910thegame.com after a CBS Sports Minute.
It's just one group at a time. I speak to everybody, things like that. We got a great rookie class in. They seem hungry. You know, you just got to get that bun and interact with each other one-on-one.
That's Julio Jones talking about the rookie class and everything kind of going swimmingly. Yeah, the National Football League is knocking on the door. Broncos are in camp. Falcons rookies are there. They're already starting to work out. The veterans report Sunday. And then, of course, training camp officially opens on Monday morning. First of 8 days that are going to be open or 7 days that are going to be open to the public at Flowery Branch, and then an 8th day that will be open at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. If you're planning on going next week.
I got two words for you. Light lotion. Put some light lotion on, boy. It's going to be warm. It is. It's going to be really warm.
Well, one of the reasons the Falcons practice early in the morning is because of the heat. And so that's kind of, I guess, the only saving grace here. But if you're going to be going, 8:30 in the morning is when the gates open in Flowery Branch. It's all free to go, okay? You can park for free. The entry is free. Lots of games for the kids. Great photo opportunities. Our big set, the dollar hot dogs and dollar hamburgers, the big, you know, swag tent there with all the new gear. It's really kind of a cool thing. I mean,
I don't know. So you don't sweat when you get in the car in the morning? You're not sweating?
Nah, I usually have to ramp up during the day.
Am I the only one that soon as I, like, when I walk out of the AC and I walk into the heat, it's like, it's automatically like I'm drenched in sweat? See, Abe the Sigma, big fella. Orin the Sigma, excuse me. And Abe, you don't get like that? I know you're. Well, yeah, Abe, within 3 minutes, Abe said in 3 minutes. Yeah, it's the same for me. Like, being in the AC, like, it's funny. Especially because we get up so early and the sun is not up, but it's like a Georgia thing. Like, as soon as I walk outside, it's like, good googly moogly, it's going to be a hot day. I can tell if it's going to be a hot day even before the sun's up. Because that heat is real. Like, at 4 o'clock in the morning, that heat is real. So it's like, for me, just to be in the AC and then walk out into the heat, you know, and have that lotion on, that's what I'm saying. You got to do the light lotion. Now I'm going with the oils a little bit, trying to put the oils on, trying to just not to leak so much, because it's going to be hot, man. It is going to be hot at Flowery Branch.
Right, and then we have to wear hats. Did you see that?
We got hats?
Yeah, we got hats this year.
Are they bucket hats?
I don't know what
kind
of hats.
If they're not bucket hats, then we got to talk. Because, like, what's the point of wearing a hat in the summertime if it's not a bucket hat? I need all areas. I need a circumference protected, not just the front of my face. If it's not a bucket hat, then it's unacceptable. I might have to get caught off behind that one. I'm not wearing nothing, but, like, I got a bucket hat on right now. Like, if it's not a bucket, well, I'm complaining about something that I don't even know of just yet. Let me pull that back. Let me pull that back a little bit. But still.
Yeah, I I'm a baseball hat guy.
It's not a bucket hat?
I need the bill so I can kind of, you know, drop the bill down so that it blocks the sun.
No, but the bucket hat gets the back. Dude, the back of your neck, the side of your neck, your ear. Like, that's the purpose of the bucket hat in the summertime. Dude, how many cats you see outside in a football camp with a bill cap on? Who has anybody seen one?
Ryan.
When? When? During football camp, he has on a bill cap. There, stay with me, John. Stay with me just for a second. Now.
Yeah.
In the summer, man, listen, that's unacceptable. That's the staple of a summer training camp in the NFL is a bucket hat. Look it up. Look at any summer camp, when you see guys at the podium, they have a bucket hat on of their respective clubs. To not have a bucket hat on, man, and we're like, that's well, the boss is in there. Let me not complain too much. But that's not the way to go. That is just not the way to – if it's not a bucket hat, man, that's not the way to go. It's not.
I don't know. I'm kind of good with it. I mean, just the bucket hat is –
Have you ever heard of the term redneck John Fricky? Have you ever heard of that term?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get the redneck, because you don't have the bucket hat on. Seriously.
Okay, and?
Okay, that's fine. If you're fine with being a redneck, that's fine.
I mean –
That's fine.
Doesn't matter to me. I mean, I like the baseball hat.
It's just a good look. His head a little bit.
It's a good look. It's a good look. It's a very good look. I'll wear that. I'll earn that.
I'm gonna have to wear my bucket hat with a hat on top of it because I just can't do. Dude, it's too hot out there to be on the Palatial Kia Stadium with a hat on, with no protection for anything. No, man, that's gonna be a rough one. I'm not complaining because if they tell us we have to wear hats, I'm gonna go ahead and wear the hat. But still,
yeah, you are.
I'm gonna do it under protest.
Yeah. Gates open at 8:30. Practice at 9:30, 9:35 technically, if you want to be counting on it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Practice starts at 9:30. Gates open at 8:30, and all free at Flowery Branch. All right, we get ready for the start of camp and our coverage. We do encourage you also to come by, say hi, take a selfie, give us a shout when you get there. And, of course, as we always talk about, there are going to be a lot of storylines at camp that do not include the hats that we're going to wear at 92.9
The Trucker hats. Right, I ain't no trucker. Wait a minute, let me stop the boss just walk past. Let me leave that one alone. Okay, like I was saying.
Nothing wrong with trucker hats. I love truckers. Brandon in Atlanta. Brandon, welcome to the show. Hey, Brandon.
Gentlemen, good to hear y'all this morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You brother, I was thinking about you standing down here in San Juan, knee-deep in this water, listening to these waves roll in all week. Y'all been doing a good job.
San Juan? So you're out there with a margarita in your hand? Like just hanging out?
I just want to let you know, you would be a hell of a truck driver. You would be the epitome of a long truck driver.
No, you know, I thought about it. You know, I have two brothers that have their CDL license, and I thought about doing it because they'll have their little hauling company or something. I thought about it, man, but that's too much like going back to school for real. I don't feel like doing that. I've done my school time. I'm good.
With all the contracts getting done, if the Julio contract does not get done before training camp starts on Sunday, is that going to be the headline again this year? And do you think a sex tape would help Brooks Koepka instead of
punching? Yes.
I like your line of thinking. That does not involve anybody going away in handcuffs, and it's still somewhat controversial.
Yes.
Well, it might involve handcuffs, but in a different setting. Might.
Yes, it could.
That would be pretty interesting. Yeah, because there's ways that you could be controversial without actually, being accused or convicted or something. So yeah, that might help. That might help. Yeah, I'm with that one. And as far as the Julio contract, I don't think it'll be any controversy because I think that Julio knows, and we all know that from the way that Mr. Blank has conducted his business up until this point, that it's going to get done. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and I think you just got a little bit of a hint, if you didn't, when we came into the segment and we were talking, you heard Julio say, just getting used to the rookies around here. I mean, Julio's not – it's not like Julio's saying – he asked him about the rookies, and he said, well, I'm not going to worry about the rookies right now. I've got to – no, everything's fine, I think, with the Atlanta Falcons. Julio said as much in the TMZ thing. They said, look, because remember, he's under contract for two more years. Julio, we're going to get your deal done. And he said – Arthur Blank's word is golden. So until proven otherwise, I think we're okay.
And I think Julio's at the point in his career right now where, I mean, okay, the money, he's going to get his money. It's about that Super Bowl win, man. I mean, most guys, this is how it goes for you as far as the NFL is concerned. You want to get in the league, you want to make a ton of money, and then you start thinking about trying to get to the Super Bowl, playoff Super Bowl. That's what you want. Because, man, I'm telling you, nothing will be like having a Super Bowl ring that you can wear around town, and it's always a conversation piece to be had. It really is. Got a chance to play an NFC Championship game. Not the same thing. I wholeheartedly believe that things would be different. I mean, not saying that my life is bad now because it's pretty good. I'm winning. I'm doing really good for myself. But every now and then you think, like, damn. How much different would it be if you had Super Bowl champion at the end of your name? And you know, me and my friends that I played with in Philadelphia, we talk about that sometime, and you kind of wonder. And I think that's what Julio is with his. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. That's no question about that. So he's going to live a life that a lot of us are not going to see. That's a given. But to be that and a Super Bowl champion, man, that has to be the icing on the cake. That would definitely be the icing on the cake for him. And I think that's what he aspires to for. And the money for him, it's going to be there. I think that they have that kind of relationship with Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons, so that, you know, he's not going to be a distraction. He's going to go out there and play. They're looking at bigger fish. They're looking at Super Bowl or bust. That's what I'm thinking with this Atlanta Falcons squad. They're looking at Super Bowl or bust, man. Because it's funny, John. Last night somebody sent me a meme, and I didn't retweet it because it was unnecessary to retweet. But it was a Falcons logo, and you had to zoom in really, really close to see what was in the logo, and it was 28-3. They're trying to put that thing to rest. I mean, that's the thing that they're trying to do. They're trying to put that to rest. They're trying to get that Super Bowl win and cement their legacy that way.
Just a couple of quick reminders here as we work through the show. Phone line's always open at 404-741-0929. We'll continue our Falcons discussion in the next hour. Do want to let you know that looking ahead to Monday and our first day at Falcons training camp, when the doors open at 8:30 on our show Monday, Rich McKay, team president, will join us on the set, and we'll be talking with Rich about some of the big issues that involve the NFL in the offseason, because even though Julio doesn't have his contract, that's the other point too, we are still, because of the five-game regular season, we are still 7 weeks away from the opener against Minnesota. So we have almost 2 months till the opener against Minnesota. Football's here, and yet it's not even really close. We're still 2 months away. And so we have plenty of time to get a Julio deal done, and I don't think there's any worry about that. But it could come today. I mean, it could come today. We could get word today that the Julio deal's done, or we could get word in a month or so. But there's no concern about this being done at all. All right, still to come. Our countdown to camp continues, and it says here in the rundown next, here's what.
Yes, we have a potpourri of stuff. It's a lot of great things happened last night, and one of them was the C8 pitchers finally dropped. Talk about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hey, everybody, it's Friday, and there was a few things that I saw yesterday that really I thought were really cool. And the first thing that I thought was really cool was the fact that Roy Halladay's widow donates a ball from Mariano Rivera to the Baseball Hall of Fame. As we all know, Roy Halladay is going to the Hall of Fame this year. And I think it was in 2008 when they were at the All-Star game. Roy Halladay was with another pitcher, Scott Kazmir, I think it was, and they were talking to Mariano Rivera about his cutter. And Mariano Rivera gave him a ball where he marked on the ball first where he would hold it to throw his signature cutter. And Roy Halladay kept this ball and took it with him everywhere he went. Well, during his baseball career, everywhere he went to, you know, just to remind himself where to hold it at when he was trying to throw his signature cutter. I thought that was pretty cool, man, because that happened in 2008. And for this guy to have this ball as long as he's had it, I thought that was pretty significant. And on top of that, for his wife, man, to, you know, that's a family heirloom in my mind. And for her to allow everybody else to, number one, know this story and to get a little look inside of his life, I thought that was pretty cool, man. So that was something that I definitely, you know, wanted to share with everybody, because that's a pretty cool story right there. And another story I want to talk about. You know, we all were upset with Game of Thrones and the way that it ended. And I think this week is, if I'm not mistaken, Orin the Sigma, this week is San Diego Comic-Con. It's been going on all week. They've been doing a lot of cool stuff out there. As a matter of fact, I saw yesterday where they had one of the longest Kamehameha highs that they've ever done in life, which is, if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's kind of what Goku does when he's getting ready to make the big old, you know, the big old ball to hit somebody with and destroy them in a fight where they've been fighting for like 10 to 12 episodes when you've been watching Dragon Ball Z. If you watch Dragon Ball Z, you know for a fact that they do like it takes forever to have one battle in Dragon Ball Z. But that's not what I want to talk about. HBO Game of Thrones has confirmed that a number of key names involved in the production of the show will not be attending the San Diego Comic-Con panel dedicated to the show this week, as previously indicated. These five people were originally announced to appear as part of a panel that was being held on the 19th, and they all decided to pull out. And some of the names are this: David Benioff and Dan Weiss, and director Miguel Skopanek. Additionally, actors Ian Glenn, who played Jorah Mormont, that was a little girl, and Nathalie Emmanuel, who played Missandei, that's the girl that got her head chopped off that you watch Game of Thrones, they will no longer be appearing. And they dropped out at the last minute. And me and you know, Orin the Signal, we think that's a little bit of a conspiracy, John. They did not want to talk about how the show ended, because a lot of people were upset about the way that the show ended. So the director and the people higher ups, they didn't want to have to deal with all those questions, because it might get hostile at Comic-Con. It's a big deal. So they didn't want to show up to that at all. And something else dropped last night that had me really, really excited. You know, I had mentioned it last week that Corvette, for the first time ever in the history of Corvette, dropped the C8. This is the first time ever that Corvette has ever had a mid-engine design. It's a really cool-looking car. It's a little bit Ferrari-ish. And it had me trying to relive my younger days and thinking about actually trying to slide my big butt into this little car. And as I read more and more about it last night, the car is really nice, but it was one thing that happened, and when I saw it, it really threw me off. So just let me read a little bit. The 8th-generation Corvette is the first one that's mid-engine, and there's other changes that will make it vastly different from its predecessors. This is what killed it for me, people. There is no manual transmission, not even an option, and the 6.2-liter V8 L2 engine will be standard on the base Stingray model. It goes in production in late 2019 and should be on sale shortly after that. Now, I don't know how anybody else feels about American muscle cars, but me personally, if you're going to drive a Corvette, or if you're going to drive anything that has that kind of horsepower, it has to be manual. And there has to be an option of a manual. And the reason why I say that is this. There's not a more beautiful feeling, even in a Camaro, than going down the street when you got a nice set of headers on your vehicle, and you can make it stay in second gear and just have it irritate your neighbors the way that it does when it's just coming down the street and you're just grinding it out in second gear. And for Corvette, especially Corvette, not to offer this new design, this new beautiful car in a manual transmission, that's ridiculous. I mean, even if you would have did the paddle shift, that would have been better than what you're giving us right now. Because for you not to do that, man, I think that's un-American. And I know that a lot of cars are going there, especially the foreign cars, and I know you're trying to get into that foreign car market. But to have the iconic Corvette not be able to be available in a 6-speed, I think that's ridiculous, and I think that they missed the boat on this one. I really, really do. And I know this is just the base model, and they say that, you know, for some of the specs, they say it's going to be under 60 grand. But to offer a Corvette in a manual and that's it, not to offer it in a manual and that's it, I think that's kind of ridiculous. I really do.
Yeah, and muscle cars need to be, you know, like the Shelby Mustangs are better with it, you know, on the stick on the floor, kind of, you know, old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I don't know why they did that. But I was all hyped. I was trying to figure out my coin situation, trying to figure out, you know, what I could possibly do to try to slide myself into the Corvette, maybe even grease up, maybe even drop a few LBs. You know, maybe even, you know, get that surgery to cut your knees off a little bit, because it's going to be kind of tight. That cockpit is going to be kind of tight. But when they said that, when they're talking about it's going to be in an automatic, no, you can count me out. I'm not going to waste my time with that one. That's ridiculous. But that's it. That's all I got today in Hughes World.
All right. Well, you know, we'll be broadcasting from Flowery Branch here coming up on Monday, and your chance to come on out and check us out. Well, you know, we were living in Hughes World with the hat thing here, because people were responding to that too.
What, the bucket hat? Yeah. Dude, you got to have a bucket hat in the summertime. Yeah, it's hot.
I should probably try one. I've never worn a bucket hat.
You never want, John, it'll change your life.
No, I'm a baseball hat guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll try one. I should try one, I guess.
Think about in training camp, all the pictures you've seen in training camp. I remember one year it was like, when I think it was when I first got here, Julio and Roddy had on the bucket hats. Dude, it's just like you can flip the front up and then put the back on your neck, keep your neck all cool. It's hot, man.
It just depends on what you look good in. Like, did you ever wear a cowboy hat?
I have when I was a little boy, and yeah. I wanted to play dress-up cowboy.
You know, I tried wearing a cowboy hat when, you know, back when it got to be hot with line dancing and stuff, everybody had to have a cowboy hat. So I went out and spent a lot of money on a cowboy hat, and then I realized after like 2 or 3 days, I didn't look right in a cowboy hat. I looked, you know, some people don't, I just didn't look right in a cowboy hat. It didn't fit me, you know. It, some people's faces just don't look right in cowboy hats, and mine didn't.
So you used to line dance?
No, I never line danced. I just said when it was hot.
Did he? Oh, okay.
Line dancing,
and,
no.
And my man Dart just corrected me. He said, because I had it wrong, he said, I had to correct you. Jor Mormont is the guy who lived and died in the Battle of Winterfell, saving Daenerys. Okay, I was thinking of Lady Mormont. I'm sorry. I was thinking Lady Mormont. I apologize for that. But anyway, it don't make a difference. They pulled out. they didn't come. They said, well, you know what? We don't want that heat. We don't want fans asking us the obvious question. Why y'all short changes like that at the end of Game of Thrones? You didn't want to do that.
I wish I watched the show. But why would they have agreed in the first place then?
It's called, and he had to correct me on something else too. It's called the Spirit Ball. I knew it was called something. I used to watch Dragon Ball Z. But then all of a sudden the fights just took too long, man. Like the first fight with Frieza, that took like 6 episodes to fight Frieza. Yeah, he got it. And every episode in Game of Thrones, John, there's a different level of super. I don't even know what Super Saiyan level is. Now, I know the last one was like Super Saiyan God, right? It's Super Saiyan God. It was Super Saiyan 4. But Abe, you're looking at me like you're just disgusting with me right now. I got some trivia that you don't know, huh, Abe? In your face, how about that? But yeah, I think it's like Super Saiyan God now.
The only fight game I ever played was Knockout. I could beat Glass Joe, but I could never beat Piston Hurricane. Dale Murphy's going to be Monday, noon to 2 at the racetrack in Smyrna off Spring Road. You can come meet the legend. He'll be signing autographs during your lunch break. Noon to 2 Monday at the racetrack off Spring Road in Smyrna, noon to 2 Monday, racetrack, Spring Road, Smyrna, to meet Murph, take pictures and more. Next up, headlines as we roll to this busy, busy Friday and a huge weekend ahead. What's in store for the Braves, United, and the Falcons as we continue with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
All I'm saying is the last season was rushed. It should have been 10 episodes.
I'm just gonna miss King's Landing.
The scheming, the plotting.
My kill list was so wrong.
What am I gonna watch now? What is it, Watchmen?
I might. Thanks for the memories.